Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you all again on today's episode. I'm honored to have my guests on the show today, the Rome Boys. I'm a big fan of their YouTube channel. So we have Tony the theologian, Chris the entrepreneur, and Joe the farmer. And we're just going to talk about their channel and talk about a little about being a husband and a father. Because apparently, from what I've found out, I'm like the rookie in this category. So guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
We deserve probably.
Yeah, definitely blessed.
Yeah, amen on that. So, guys, a big fan of your channel and congratulations on the success. So, how long have you been doing this and how'd that idea come about to start a YouTube channel?
It's been exactly 1 year.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks. It was 1 year in March that we got rolling. It was about the time the pandemic kind of got kicked off, and we thought, well, we ain't got nothing else to do. Let's,
no church. It was just, couldn't even go to the grocery store. It seemed like,
I know it.
As a matter of fact, it was around that time that Tony's wife, my sister-in-law, dropped a present off on our porch, which was a bag of toilet paper.
Right.
So we're like, oh, who dropped the toilet paper? I don't know. Thank you, Jesus.
Still don't understand that. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
The toilet paper fairy.
Yes.
When the world is collapsing, you're worried about your toilet paper.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, about the time it got started, right? But the reason, though, to really answer the heart of the question, the reason is because we hang out with each other. Mm-hmm. We live in a small community. And we teach RCIA to get RCIA together. And so we're always talking about our faith. We've got amongst us 18 kids. And so they're always running around. Our wives homeschool. Yep. Our children, they come together at least once a week. And we love talking about our faith. And Tony actually was teaching theology at his house. And all of our kids would go over there and learn religion and theology. And I said, can I just set up a camera in front of you one day, and we could just capture all this catechism, or catechesis. And so anyways, Joe actually knows how to run a camera.
Yeah. right.
And edit. I'm the tech guy guru here.
So our gifts complement one another. So, like the theology side and the tech guy and the entrepreneur guy and establishing us as a nonprofit and getting a website. Like, I don't know how to do all that stuff and the tech stuff. Like, I barely even know this is a microphone. So anyways, by God using the Holy Spirit, using our gifts to make it together as a team, is a lot easier to get things done when you're with a team. So,
I've always heard that if you're not embarrassed by your first product, then you started too late.
We're completely embarrassed by the first episode. Yeah. It never aired and it never will.
Oh, it never. I was going to ask if there's been any big snafus. So can you discuss that first episode? What were some of the snafus there, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, man, we had location problems. Yeah. We had audio sound problems. Yeah. We had sound problems. It was terrible.
Let me define location and audio problems. Yeah. We were propping up folding tables and putting blankets over them so that our voice wouldn't be reflecting off the walls and the metal roof and just
In a church office.
And, yeah, we're using a church office for a little while.
And we were just trying to talk about Jesus, and we couldn't even get that right. So
we rewatched it the other day just because it was our anniversary. So we were sitting around the computer, and we just kind of put it on to watch, and we were like, oh, this is terrible. Oh,
yeah.
Just
makes you we're all tense and serious. And
And look,
you see how uncomfortable we were in front of the camera? Stiff and just kind of staring.
Who's going to talk next?
I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
And we were literally adjusting blinds in the church family center, trying to get our lighting right. I mean, that's. So anyways, it may not be perfect now. We get that.
Night and day.
The point is, like, and what we've been, when we've been asked that question, we've said, like, look, guys, there's no competition for the gospel and getting the good news out. Yeah. So everybody needs to do something in their own way with their own gifts. And we were just, I guess, kind of nudged the right way by God, and our wives supported us. And, yeah, there's chaos behind the scenes right now. You can't see it, but there are three wives with 18 kids running around somewhere right now.
So Paul and my wife had to get kicked out of the house because they make too much noise. So
there you go.
Just so we can do this.
And like Chris was saying, we all have our part. So thank you, William, for all you do in evangelizing and reaching souls, because we need more. Need more.
It was a way for us to create community or continue to have our community. You know, actually, when we were doing those first episodes, there were people in our church that were not happy with the fact that us three people came together in the public church building, even though nobody else was there. And this might sound a bit contradictory, and I'm not trying to cause discomfort anywhere here, but just because whenever COVID was first coming about, we still wanted to be a community.
Sure.
We still wanted to come together, you know?
We still wanted to evangelize.
Yeah.
You can't stop evangelizing regardless of the times.
So we thought, we must be doing something right. speaking the truth.
Little fuel to the fire.
Right? Anytime you get naysayers, it's like, yes, we're doing something right.
At least Joe likes them.
I love it. Whenever we get a negative comment, I was like, yeah, all right.
So you've asked one question and we've talked for 5 minutes. So forgive us.
Oh, no, it's all right. You talked about the chaos going on in the back. Quick story on that. I was the first time I was on Gary Machuda's show. My daughter walks in and she's like, Dad, I really have to poop. I'm like, we're live. we're live on air. I'm like, oh my gosh.
What do you do? Cry or laugh? I mean, or both?
We just laughed and then we just played it off like nothing happened. But
awesome.
But it's hilarious.
When we were interviewing Jesse Romero, all of a sudden he goes, "Hang on a second," and he just left. It wasn't a live show, but he just took off. Something about his grandson was needing to change the channel or something.
We were interviewing Emily Geminette, and her cat came in and was walking across the screen and back to grab the cat. Before the cat comes back on, I'm like, the cat wants to be here about the gospel too. This is great.
We are Catholics.
And,
there you go.
Well, it's funny because there was one episode, I don't remember which one it was, but you said something about, like, I guess it was Jesus pooped, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But we just died laughing. We're like, three grown men laughing at poop jokes.
Yeah, so poop and farts.
It was a holy.
That's what we edited out.
So what's been some of the feedback that you've had on your work so far in the 1 year you've been doing it?
Positive.
Yeah,
99% of the time.
It kind of blows us away, actually, because there's folks that are asking us to come join their show. And that's
as you.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure.
You as an example.
It's been incredible to hear people's opinions of it because I think what we realized is we're just being ourselves. And nobody else can duplicate that. Not that they would want to, but just the fact that they enjoy who we are as people. We're not trying to put on a show. We're just being ourselves and being real, being bold and being Catholic, you know, kind of our slogan.
And it's definitely more than just a show that someone watches for an hour, like individual stories of people like sharing what's going on in their life we can pray for them. Individual people asking questions that can have a major impact on their soul for eternity, you know, and from around the world. Like, we're in the smallest town, like one of the smallest towns in Texas, and we're reaching people all over the world. That is just nuts that God has been able to do great things through that.
Yeah, we want to, you know, there's deep theology and catechism to the things we talk about, maybe not yet so far today, but no, really, it's okay to be real in this world. And, you know, I was just telling somebody earlier that, you know, I've had people that I've worked with for a couple of years say, oh, wait, you're Catholic? And I'll talk about Jesus all day long from the first time they ever meet me, right? You know, and it's just who I am. That's, you know, how.
Why can't we make that just normal conversation?
Yeah,
is the thing. I think that's what the popularity of the show is that it did. I had a guy went to a restaurant and had a guy who had watched the show just come over.
The cook.
Yeah, the cook. He left the kitchen. He came over there and just asked me about how is that a real conversation? Do y'all just script it? And I was like, well, like I told you before, when we script it, we screw up. So and I was like, no, that's just the conversation that we're having. And he's just like, oh man, I really enjoy that. And I was like, I think that needs to be the normal conversation is just, why can't we just talk about this?
Yeah.
Right. Why can't we talk about Jesus without feeling a little uncomfortable?
A lot of people in the church are not the real, our motto, be real, be bold, be Catholic. You can get that from a few people, but not enough. And so I think that's what a lot of people follow, watch our show because of that. We're trying to give all three.
Yeah. You know, Father Donald Calloway talked about, don't be weird. Just, you know,
don't be weird, bro.
just be real. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to get through to a teenager? Beating them over the head with a catechism and a Bible? It ain't going to work. I mean, it's proven that the old ways of catechizing is not working. The book from Christendom to Apostolic Mission, I think, is the perfect example of where we're at today. Christendom no longer exists. So we got to meet people where they are on the road to Emmaus, right? Like
I know I told my wife this, you know, another thing that I really enjoy about this, doing this program, doing the show is that, you know, if something were to happen to me and, you know, I'm a farmer, things happen and they would have this to kind of, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
These shows are going to be around as long as there's an internet, you know,
which is awesome.
Or at least until we get kicked off by YouTube, you know, so
we're on Rumble too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's written down. It's not written down, but I mean, it's there. It's archived. They can watch it anytime. It's a little part of us that'll stick around.
We're proud to be heroes for our kids. What can we say?
Because in the end of the day, we're supposed to be passing on the faith to our children, and God willing, we're doing that. And if we can help some other people out, praise God. Hopefully that'll be just enough to get us into heaven, I hope.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
It's funny. You're talking about Father Calloway. I watched that interview last night. He said, you know, don't be weird. And then you ask him about the monstrances behind him. And he's like, oh, that's a piece of the cross. And we're like, I'm like, well, why didn't you lead off with that? Like,
exactly. How did you get
exactly
that?
A piece of the cloak of Joseph?
Yeah.
Who has that?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
just nonchalant. Just, oh, yeah, that's such and such. That's the piece of the cross. It's like,
like everyone has it just sitting there, you know, like.
Yeah. Don't you have them either? Yeah. I was at dinner with some friends and they said, oh yeah, we had the gloves of Padre Pio. They're on our mantle. I'm like, who'd you steal those from? Are you a pirate?
We have bobblehead Jesus is about all we get. We're just real. And
I have the Divine Mercy statue right here. That's about what I got too. So
there you go.
Yep.
Now, Tony, you're married with 7 kids. Chris, you're married with 6. And Joel, you're married with 5. I say I'm the baby because I'm married with 4.
you complete us.
So how do you all maintain family, work, and then have time to do the channel as well?
We were going to ask that question to Mark Hart last week when we recorded with him, because it is hard to find the balance. Obviously, you have to find time, always put God first, and your family, your spouse, and just getting out there and being able to date your wife and still have a few moments of silence. Like for us, we just walk around outside. All kids stay inside the house. Mom and I are going outside just to talk. You know, you have to be able to do that. And of course, the balance of work and that kind of thing. And I don't think we have, I don't know about you two, but it's hard to find that balance, but you try your best and you give it your all each and every day. And like I said, if you have God first, it's going to work out. And then you try to refocus because you go a little too far on one side. Joe talks about, man, he's been editing videos for hours. He needs to get more, you know, more time with his family. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It truly is a struggle. but we just kind of try to come back to the middle. Temperance calls us to have self-control and come back to the middle, and you do the best you can.
For me, it's a lot of late nights. Yes. After the kids have gone to bed, that's when I start working on it. Okay. You know, we take these Saturdays to, you know, record and do all that because it's a pre-recorded show. We're not going to try to hide that. Mm. And so we'll take a Saturday. So like we had to kick my wife out. My wife and the kids are off. They went to town to go shopping just because because otherwise you would hear my son screaming in the background, "Mom, I need to poop." Yeah, you know. But so they have to leave. So that's the sacrifice that they have to make. And then so for myself, you know, long hours of farming or whatever we're doing during the day. And so the only time I get to work on it's at night after they go to bed. So it's a lot of late nights.
Simon Peter was married when he was called by Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was a busy man.
I'm picturing that the scene now, The Chosen.
Yeah.
I just watched it this week.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good. But, there's a reason for everything that Jesus did, and there's messages in it. You know, the more I'm around my kids and my family, the more I recognize I need to be around them more, and I want to be around them more. It's so kind of like, what's the Aristotle quote? As the island of my knowledge grows, so then does the shore of my ignorance. But it is so true. But I guess what I will say is that I'm very fortunate that we homeschool. Hmm. And that simple change in the way we have structured our family is something that I think we often take advantage of because we see that we need to be around our kids more. But think about most families who are watching this show, they husband and wife work, kids go to public school, and then they come home. They might cook a meal together. They might clean dishes and, you know, wash dishes and clean up the kitchen and things together. And then watch a show and go to sleep or something or be on their phones. Or they might just order takeout and scarf it down on the way to soccer practice or baseball practice.
Yeah.
And then they got to go home, brush their teeth, take a shower, maybe do some homework. I don't know if kids do that in public school or not, but
it's all on laptops now.
But for us, we're very fortunate. That one simple decision has changed our family dynamic greatly. And I know, and I think all the time, I should do more. I'm a busy man. You know, my slogan is I'm the entrepreneur.
The epitome of busy.
Yeah. We actually own 8 companies and my wife and I. And so it's very busy, very, very busy. But I will tell you this, to hear the words from scripture, to pray without ceasing, it's in every moment of my life. And I'm not perfect and I'm not super holy. I know that for sure. But what I do know is that every decision I make is a Christian moral decision that is affecting the lives of people who are not. And it's not common in everyday society, that Christendom that I spoke about, you know, in the title of that book.
Right.
It's not normal anymore. And it's amazing how we can touch people's lives at the grocery store, just driving without road rage. You know, I mean,
and to answer your question too, like I always like to quote, 99% of marriages last if you pray together, eat together, and you're open to life. And so at the end of the day, amen, if all those three things, that mission of the Frasco family and all of our families are that, at the end of the day, you can rest easily. And of course you confess your sins to the Lord and you go to confession regularly, you attend mass, but that's when you surround yourself with activities that are all about the church and you're spending time together as a community and as a family, you can rest easy.
Good. There's definitely a balance, but it's juggling priorities, and you keep God first, and then the other ones will just fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why is it important, guys, to keep dating your spouse?
Everything will fall.
She's not leaving. The kids are. Everything. The kids will move out someday. She's not.
And I actually quoted that this week. I'm like, you're going to be out of here. She's not. So she's my number one.
Our kids need to see that. That's the answer. Our kids need to see that we love their mother.
And when
they do that, they'll take that simple model out into the world and live it themselves and understand that, you know, your spouse is your most important person that you are, you know, to focus your love and your energy on. Why? Because how many times do you hear, my kids come first? Okay. And then that means, so when you get a divorce, you're going to fight over your kids, right? And whenever there's separation between you and your spouse, you're going to argue with your spouse. And I mean, what's the point? So if we love Jesus first, then our wives will love us, right? So it's just about priorities. Yeah. And, you know, my wife is smoking hot, and she makes it easy for me.
There you go.
So,
but you know, like the numbers, the statistics, my wife and I have been married for 16 years. I mean, that 10 to 20 year mark is where a lot of people, you can feel the challenges. You know, you can feel the devil wanting to ruin that. And that's when you need to draw upon Christ and the scriptures and upon, in my case, my wife, and say, like, here's my struggles. And again, be real, be bold, be Catholic. I'm always dumping everything on her.
Yeah.
But we are best friends first. And we share what's going on in our lives, and she shares the struggles with the kids. And at the end of the day, we come together and just do our best. But you can see why people get a divorce.
Yeah.
Because it is very difficult, but we need to man up and rely on Christ.
Watch Mark Hart's video with us. Thing he says, okay, guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and make out with your wives and make sure your kids can see it.
That's because it's all about being an example. Okay,
right.
So if we're godly, if we try to be godly men, and we show that we can love our wives, and what do you think our sons and daughters are going to model after?
Right, right.
Are they going to model after what they see on TV or what they see in our kitchen?
Yeah.
You know, not seeing too much.
Yeah, they're going to do what we do, not what we say, right?
Exactly.
They love what we love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God forbid we let TV be the only example that they have. Oh, gosh.
And the dates don't have to be something so, you know, planned out, or it can be like Tony said, just taking a walk. I mean, Lacey and I the other day drove out to check a center pivot. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, some irrigation that we have. So we're just drove.
He's a farmer.
Yeah, yeah. I can throw that out there. But we just got in the pickup and drove out there and drove back while our oldest daughter watched the rest of the kids. So, you know, just that's a date. That's a date. Just a time that we can spend to talk to say nothing at all.
Yeah. Isn't it a beauty of silence? It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I asked the RCIA candidates this year, like, when's the last time you just looked in the mirror at yourself and told yourself that you love the person in the mirror?
Mm.
And if you can't start there and do that, how can you look at your spouse and just stop, look them dead in the eye like you did when you were making your vows? I mean, that's a little uncomfortable for some people.
Thanks a lot.
It is.
Well, I'm going to try that later.
And you talked about TV and the internet. You know, like, we find the best time is we put a movie in, Ignatius Press, all those cool saint movies, and our kids want to watch them.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, The Chosen. I'll watch it for the third time. Praise God. They're watching something good. My wife and I can go talk and relax and just, you know, veg for the day. I mean, I think it really is important, though, that husband and wife have time to talk every day. That has been a battle for our house. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been solely a struggle to have uninterrupted seven kids, you know, time to speak. And I'm like, I'm an introvert. I can get the points across in 5 minutes, but just give me 5 minutes. And that's even a struggle at times. So, you know, yeah.
Uninterrupted? Is that even possible?
I know it.
I don't think it is, but, you know, we can try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as fathers, how do we, and I get this question a lot, and I don't know. How do you keep kids on the right path? Because eventually they're going to stray. How do you try to keep them on that path, though?
You know,
I hold a gun. No, oh, no.
Texas here.
Hey,
I just knocked his headphones off. Awesome.
Yep, they just flew off. So I just unplugged them.
Hey, you know what is what I've noticed is I keep my kids guessing. They think that they got dad figured out. Nope, I will throw a random curveball at them, and it, you know, because we live in an entertainment age. We're not in an information age. If that were the case, then the facts would stand and people would follow the church and the church's teaching. Because like Tony said, 99% of marriages would stay together with those three simple things. Eat at the table together, pretty simple. Pray together and practice natural family planning and be open to life. And so it's quite simple.
And you know, the word bored, it's not an ancient word. We had to invent a word.
It's true.
But for people to be, you know, that was one thing we learned real quick whenever I was a kid is you do not say you're bored, because that's when dad says, oh, you're bored, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. I got some work for you to do. It's like, oh, no, never mind.
And on the thread of living in the entertainment age, that concept comes from the word amuse, to be amused, which means amuse means to be without thought.
Mm.
And so we're not being challenged intellectually. And so our kids go out into the world to find a place to, you know, right here, on their cell phone to fill that gap of being challenged and being engaged, firing those synapses, creating those neurological dopamine responses, right?
I had to giggle, sorry, when you said without thought, because that's usually the way I spend my day. Without thought, because isn't that when your wife says, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And I did that to my son the other day. We were driving, checking the pivot again, and he was riding with me, and he goes, I go, what you think about? I'm not thinking about anything, man. Quit asking me that.
And as a theology teacher, you know, I went from the classroom to teaching my own kids and other homeschool kids. And I went from like, here it is in the book, and we read the book, blah, 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 to the point where like, I just like asking questions. And and of my teenage boys, you know, they're picking up the religion books and just reading them on their own. I'm like, I don't have to teach you, but what are you learning? Let's have a discussion about it. I'm always probing and asking questions. Mark Hart encouraged that. And I'm just even doing it more this week. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, if you're called to be married, you're called to be a priest. How is that going to work out? What's your ministry going to be like? How many kids are you going to have? I'm always asking those kinds of questions to think deeper beyond the surface. And so they know if they're ever alone with me, I'm going to ask them something. So.
Well, look at what is happening in society and who our teens are following in general. They're following a rebellious nature and a rebellious society because they are that way.
Not in a good way.
But the thing that it tells us is that these kids need more. They want more. They're thinking deeper.
They're thirsting for the truth.
Yeah. And they want to save the planet and be kind to people that are different from us and the LGBTQ community. So all of these things have this hint of truth in them, but it's not the truth, right? It's not the fullness of truth.
Sure.
So how do we keep them in the, I think we just got to be real with them. You know, the oldest of our children is 11. And so it just goes down in age from there. But, you know, my kids know what sex is. Mm-hmm. They know what it means
from an early age, you're discussing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we also live out in the country. And so, Tony's son Simon,
is breeding rabbits right now.
Breeding rabbits,
and his story about that process was interesting.
Yeah,
and humorous.
Yeah, so we're just real with our kids, and they realize that we're not just like cloistered families, you know.
We're not weird, bro.
At least we think we're not. I don't know.
So
I guess we are.
You know, who knows? The end result, who knows? Because they're all created by God and they're all individual people. So we hope and pray that what we're doing is right. We haven't seen the result yet.
Right.
You know,
but it is encouraging if you raise up your kids that you're, you know, the oldest ones in our family are also asking those deeper questions and saying and doing some discipline too. So like, you know, if they ever do stray, there's tons of people that are going to be there to encourage them and then also be hard on them, like, hey, what the heck you thinking, to get them back. So that's hopeful.
They won't feel shunned. They know that we love them. Yes. I think that's the other thing.
I think the most another important aspect that we're missing out on is making it fun. Make it fun. I mean, we interviewed Steve Ray and he talked about how his dickers, whatever they had, where they everybody wanted to come to their house.
It was like a carnival.
He didn't have to worry. Yeah, he didn't have to worry about his boys wanting to go somewhere else because everybody wanted to come to his house. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what we need to do for our kids too: is make it fun, make them want to be home.
Yes,
and not try to run off and go, you know, do other things.
It's got to be challenging in some ways to live in a big city. And I've lived in Houston, fourth largest city in America, and it. Unless you get outside and you do not just engaging in conversation is playing video games, sitting on our cell phones. You go to restaurants. How many people do you see, families, and they're not even talking to each other. They're just all on their own device.
They're texting each other from across the table.
Drives me crazy.
So it's just simply engaging with them. Yeah,
it's very funny.
If you come to our houses, I mean, the kids are on the trampoline, playing golf, doing whatever outside, you know, as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of the Texas weather, we're able to be outside maybe more than some. But
I go into my girls' room and they're reading a book. How wild is that? They're reading a book.
They may have read more books than all of us combined.
Oh, yeah. Man, they love to read. I don't know where they got that from. Not for me. Yeah.
So have you guys succeeded in teaching your kids to turn off the lights? That's the next question I have, because I can't.
Oh, God. I threaten them with their very lives if they don't forget. They keep forgetting to turn on the closet light.
Close the front door.
And that's when I realized I turned into my dad.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Just to run around just
guy.
Yelling.
He's a good guy.
Turn off the lights. I'm not trying to light the whole town.
So if I understand the question.
Flush the toilet.
I will say that we wanted our kids to understand where things come from.
Yeah. Like, we're stewards.
Yeah.
What so God's given us.
We built a house. We're not too granola. But we built a house that was out in the middle of a field. And my wife and I installed solar panels. We had no other electricity. We had a rainwater catchment tank with gutters that funneled the water in and pumped it through filters into the house. But during that process, it was not easy. My wife will actually say it wasn't a great experience during the summer in Texas. It was hot. But you know, it's so interesting because it's the difficult times that I recall that our kids remember the most details. It's not on a trip that we went on. I mean, there's little things in that trip. Actually, right. We all went to Costa Rica because I saved up my points on my credit cards. But what they remember is the spiders that were crawling through the walls in this cabin that we were staying in.
And the drafts in the walls. And
how cold it was and how difficult it was to get a good night's rest. The electricity went out while we were in Costa Rica. And it wasn't the beautiful beaches and the parrots and the dolphins and the stingray. Nope.
That's everything that went wrong.
It was all. But what do we remember about Jesus?
Good job, Clark.
Right. Yeah. National Lampoon's Vacation. Yeah. But what do we remember about our faith? Jesus died for us. It's in the sacrifice and the suffering and his death that we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a story behind that. There's a moral behind that story.
And our kids are watching how we deal with suffering and what we do with it and the good that can come from it. And that's a lesson that many parents are actually teaching their kids. You know, I'm not saying I'm the best at it. If I yell and scream, I'm teaching them something there too, but I'm also human. You know, I'm weak and I got to get back to confession. And they see that too.
Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker, he hates to be called that, by the way. Yeah. He said that, you know, in all of his research, and he's consulted Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Queen Elizabeth. Okay, so the guy knows what he's talking about in a lot of stuff. But he said, in all my studies, I've found that 100% of the time, people move away from pain and closer to pleasure. That is in our DNA to naturally, original sin. We wanted to know it all. Why? Yeah. So that we can make things easier on ourselves or to have control over our lives, right? But when we give that up, that's suffering.
Oh yeah, look at the society today. I mean, how much money is spent on comfort?
Yes.
On trying to make yourselves comfortable and get away from suffering. Suffering is not, you know, the church teaches that suffering is a good thing. We can use it as redemptive suffering and for others and those souls in purgatory. But in this society, if you're suffering, you're doing something wrong.
And Jesus moved closer and closer as he got closer and closer to Jerusalem. He wanted to suffer. Look at the saints. They look for opportunities to have it. I'm like, whoo, that's a radical 360 change that we need to head towards if we want to make it.
Here's something to consider, a quote we just had on another show. 35% of all internet searches are for pornography.
Yeah.
35%. It's disgusting. It's terrible. It's
Hold on, I lost you.
Yep. Preach it, brother.
That's it, because they don't want to live their lives with consequences, you know, or consequences for our actions.
Yeah. And you mean children.
Those are not consequences. Those are results.
Those are blessings. All right. Well, one second, guys.
We may be having a glitch.
Yes, we are.
Amen.
We're experiencing a little glitch, so.
Me too.
That's good.
Wasn't sure if it was on our end or your end.
I think it was mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can edit Joe can edit.
Oh, no, this is his show.
Oh, yeah, this is yours. You can edit.
And Joe's like, woo!
I'm worried about it
at the same time.
Yeah, well, stuff happens sometimes, you know?
Last week we had our interview with Father Mitch, and we were doing it at the church there in Louisville, and the lights went out.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Twice. And they had motion sensors in this little classroom that we were doing the interview on, and all of a sudden just the lights went out.
We're like, moving them with our hands even.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy.
So guys, what's next for you? What do you have planned for the channel next?
I'm Holy Spirit. I mean, we're always thinking about guests, and we definitely want to. We have 5 or 6, is it right? Faith formation episodes that we have done, and we're hoping to do 25 of them, basically covering all the major topics from the catechism. You can't get them all, but as I went through them, I'm like, these are the big daddy ones. So that's our goal. We have a saint series. So there's 10,000 saints. I don't think we'll get that many episodes, but you know, we can obviously do more of those. And like I said, let the Holy Spirit lead us. It's an adventure. We actually don't know what's to come.
And we've been asked to help with a conference.
That's true. We'll do a men's conference coming up.
Teresa Tomeo's conference on
Listening for God.
Yeah, Listening for God. So we've got our shows there. To go out to a parish. And you mentioned Jesse Romero earlier. Jesse Romero was the last speaker at this conference, at this men's conference, and we're going to be the next one. So we're
He was our first guest.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, Deacon Allen was our first guest. He was our first Zoom guest. But yeah, so we have to follow up Jesse Romero at this men's conference, and
they know what they're getting.
We're gonna have to get some. Like Navy SEAL training, police academy training, beat our chest a little bit, get fired up.
There you go.
some boxing training to keep up with him and everything, right?
Yeah. Police Academy. That was a funny movie.
Police Academy. Joe.
Not that training.
Yeah. So
where can the listeners go and check out your channel and learn more about you guys and subscribe, all that good stuff that
very, very intelligent people follow our show.
No, he's like, where do they go?
What kind of people? We can describe them for you. They're amazing.
Absolutely.
Rumboys.org.
Yeah, that's our website. We're on YouTube and Rumble. You can watch our videos. And we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, MeWe, Gab. Did I get them all? Mm-hmm.
We also exist in the real world, too.
Yes.
Yeah. If you ever find yourself in around Rowena, Texas, just give us a call.
Look that up on the map. San Angelo Diocese.
I might get even harder. Come by often. Yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful. Don't blink. Yeah. You'll miss it.
Well, guys, subscribe to the channel. It's a great channel. Guys, I really love what you guys are doing. And thanks for coming on my show and just talking, giving us some tips on fatherhood and how to work with the Holy Spirit. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. God bless you and all your listeners. Yes,
William. Thank you. We do appreciate you having us on.
Oh, my pleasure. God bless you guys.
God bless you. Take care.
You too.